life does always seem fine on the occasions when we get to dedicate children. And don't get me wrong, there can be woe and worry associated with babies, of course. Still, there is something pure and poignant about welcoming into the world a wee one who is so fresh, with so much unfurling ahead, and far less backstory than the adults who greet them earthside. Suddenly, the older siblings, no matter how young themselves, seem wise and downright elderly by comparison. It is all relative. Whether we think of ourselves as officially old or not, we all face aging. Becoming an elder is, after all, a process, and it's not one valued very highly in our society these days. Consider the hag, the monster of this week's Month of Monsters. The hag is an archetype that has long appeared in most, if not every, culture across the globe. Its defining characteristics are that it is old, female. Feminism reminds us that how the negative gets gendered is important, and malevolent in intent. It's easy to see why anyone might seek distance from such an idea or being. Not only is this our monster month, but courage is our October theme, and it is sometimes said that growing old is the most courageous thing we ever do. So take heart and let us draw near enough to really observe the hag. If we are brave, we might be able to find the beauty, the inherent worth and dignity in what is often reviled. Capitalism would have us believe that our goal should be to stay as youthful as possible for as long as possible. And that's because it enables advertising to target us for lotions and potions and a host of other so-called solutions to the problem of getting old. Now, my tiny overpriced pot of Clinique under eye cream that lives carefully on my bedside table might tell you that I'm a little susceptible to that advertising. And it's a marketing goldmine because nothing we buy can actually halt, let alone turn back, the reality that if we continue to live, we will continue to age. So, what is the answer? Should we just give in and not even try to stop the onslaught of years? Joan Chittister, Benedictine nun and a renowned lecturer, says emphatically, yes, just age. Let yourself. She elaborates on the how and why of this in her book, The Gifts of Aging. The point of growing older, she says, is not to avoid aging or to have no physical issues, no areas of decline. Instead, she says that we have a spiritual obligation to age well. In order to do that, we have to understand there is a purpose to aging. Just as there is meaning to be found when we bring intention and attention to any stage of life. She sees life as a mosaic with many stages and many new beginnings, each phase a unique stepping stone. Each has purpose. She even names specific reasons to value the end of life stage. Our task is not to idealize old age or youth. That doesn't get us anywhere good. But it is true that old age can enlighten us and that it benefits those around us. Our job as people at various places on the aging spectrum is to realize that, to honor it, and to be open to the learning that can come from being older and being around those who are. Later periods of life are to assimilate the experiences and knowledge gained in earlier periods. And we do this by reflecting on them and absorbing their lessons, and then using that insight to come alive more fully in the present. Chittister invites those in that final stage of life, however you might define that, to give yourself permission to think of higher matters, whatever those might be for you. Practical and mundane considerations are always going to be a part of life, but the emphasis and even the priority should become that which is larger, more spiritually transcendent. Specifically, she urges attention to the inner self. I'm still in my 30s, so I can't summarize my end stage reflection. It just doesn't exist yet. But I love the idea of using the age I am now to delve into the unique perspective that it allows me to bring to myself and the world. When I think about it in this way, I realize that I can already track the way my wisdom is developing. When my parents retired a couple years ago, I suddenly felt that my years were adding up differently. Now, I am the oldest person in my family of origin still engaged in the workforce. Witnessing my mother and dad age helps me to see that I, too, am growing. Not only growing up, as we say to talk about babies becoming children and then teens and young adults, but also growing simply older as I encounter middle age. I married someone significantly older than I am, and so with my spouse aging ahead of me, I wonder if I will face being a young widow, alone sooner than if I had made a life with more of an age mate. I don't know how it will all play out. There's no great need to borrow trouble, and certainly no benefit to worrying sooner rather than later. Sometimes I have to remind myself of that. Yet in contemplating the swirling unknowns of fate and how they keep company with what we do know very well, which is that we are mortal and not getting any younger, any of us, I am also able to trace my increasing ability to keep my own company well and even delight in solitude in a way I would not have been able to dream of only a few years ago. This is not a personality trait with which I was born. I worked at it, honed, and developed it. The depth of enjoyment I get by spending time simply with myself, that is a gift of my aging. Chittister suggests that as I continue to age, if I am lucky enough to get to do that for a long time yet, that I will be able to incorporate more and more layers of experience and knowledge into my identity, my narrative. The extension of that, which Chittister also considers crucial, is that once you create and then update and fine-tune your life story, then you also get to share it and its lessons with others. I'm really proud that I can have fun hanging out by myself, and thank you for letting me tell you about that. In our reading, the mother does what I just did. First, she analyzes her life. Life for me ain't been no crystal stair. It's had tacks in it and splinters and boards tore up and places with no carpet on the floor. Interwoven with this reflection, she offers up her truth in the form of a lesson, some clear advice for her child. Don't you turn back. Don't you sit down on the steps because you find it's kinder hard. Mother to Son was first published in 1922 in the NAACP magazine Crisis, but this image is more recent. This is an illustration by Benny Andrews that appears in the Langston Hughes volume of the acclaimed and amazing Poetry for Young People series. I highly recommend it. we will see another depiction of another of his depictions of Hugh's work, along with our closing words at the end of the service. But let's just look at this image now, because it celebrates the older person as lovely, wise, and connected. The anti-hag. No monster here, maybe not perfect, but human, beautiful in its humanity even, with the sloped shoulders, tired, worn out maybe from that climbing, resting on that green chair. The real monster of this service, the real malevolent hag, is a society that prevents aging from happening with dignity. In 1969, Dr. Robert Neil Butler coined the term ageism, basing it on the patterns of sexism and racism. While it's now been expanded to include those on either end of the age spectrum, both the very young and the very advanced in years, Butler's focus was on seniors exclusively. He defined ageism as a combination of three connected elements: prejudicial attitudes toward older people, old age, and the aging process, discriminatory practices against older people, and institutional practices and policies that perpetuate stereotypes about elderly people. Ageism shows up in a variety of ways. I noticed an interpersonal example last weekend. I was going through airport security in Baltimore. A TSA agent one row over practically seethed with frustration toward an elderly person who was simply doing what everyone else was doing, loading his things in plastic bins and pushing them toward the mouth of the conveyor belt. As I saw the agent motion him along, "Hurry up, old timer," said his eye roll and big exaggerated hand gestures, it was obvious that the young and middle-aged adults surrounding him were A, not moving any faster, and B, not incurring similarly poor treatment. There is no doubt in my mind that the agent would not have behaved that way toward someone my age. An example of systemic institutional bias is in a study that found that potential employers in the U.S. are more than 40% more likely to even just interview a young adult job applicant than an older one. Other studies show that poverty among seniors increases as they age. By one measure, 36% of seniors ages 65 to 69 are at 2 times the federal poverty level, and that's bad enough. But at age 80 or older, the share rises to 57%. To compound these disparities, we know that there are added layers once you factor in other demographic markers, like race. Black seniors, for example, appear twice as likely as whites to develop Alzheimer's and other dementias. Research indicates that highly stressful experiences, such as socioeconomic disparities in early childhood, abuse, severe illness, being fired, things like that can age the brain before its time, but there are almost more questions than answers at this point. A major barrier to learning more is that African Americans make up less than 5% of participants in studies of cognitive decline and dementia. Are you ready for something hopeful? Dr. Raina Croft is leading a potentially groundbreaking study in my hometown of Portland, Oregon. It's called SHARP: Sharing History Through Active Reminiscence and Photo Imagery. So this is how it works. 3 times a week, 21 African American seniors gather in groups of 3 and reminisce during mile-long walks through streets once filled with black-owned homes and businesses, areas that in the last 20 years or so have become majority white. along the way, memory markers like signs or historic photographs prompt "Do you remember?" conversations about people, events, or landmarks. Croft says, "A lot of our wisdom and stories about what community means comes from our elders. There is something very powerful about saying, I'm still here, I'm still part of this community, and you're going to see me." In this way, she echoes what Chittister says in her book about how important it is to reflect upon one's life journey and then have a way to share and incorporate that wisdom into the current stage. The existence of this study helps clarify how important it is that we stay connected as we age. Walking, talking, remembering, showing up, being seen. We need to integrate elders into our lives and communities, not warehouse them in places where they are removed from the world and we from them. This is not a condemnation of facilities like nursing homes, many of which are excellent places. And I'm not criticizing those who might be planning to enter one or whose loved ones reside there. I am expressing sadness that our society is so segregated by age. It impoverishes us all because we don't get to benefit from the wisdom of those who are at different life stages. Contrast the isolating of generations with the gift of being in a community like a congregation. Congregational life itself can help us see aging as a gift, not an easy present, as it does come with physical decline, an increasingly precarious social location, and other very real challenges. Yet it is also a sacred opportunity, way more reliable than any eye cream advertisement could promise, to do just what Chittister describes as most helpful when confronted with the spiritual task of aging well. To reflect back on many ages and stages, to be able to share what you've learned, and to keep learning as we continue to age. For me personally, I think the single most important aspect of congregational life is that it gives us a chance to be in community with those who are at other life stages. This is, after all, a place where we began our service by honoring new life. And in a few minutes, we will close by asking an elder among us to extinguish our chalice. May we see in this the gift it truly is, the gift of being able to bring our past into our present with us as we age into the future together.